With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello and welcome to the Grill Nation Show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today on 980 AM. Or if you're listening on iTunes via podcast or at the website grillnationshow.com. I greatly appreciate it. We have been away for a little bit with all the things happening with the Super Bowl in Kansas City, as well as different shuffling around here with sporting events and whatnot. And I have been super busy on all kinds of stuff, from client work to all the fun stuff that happens here in Kansas City and throughout the country. Been traveling a lot, but I'm glad to be back, and I really want to thank our listeners for listening to the show today, and obviously thank our contributors to the Grill Nation show, which include Landmark Bank and the KCADC. On today's show, we are going to have a guest on the phone line. Actually, we set up the phone line just now from New York City. He is originally from Kansas City and grew up here and lived here throughout high school. Comes back a lot and is a successful entrepreneur. He's now in New York City. I've known him and his family for, gosh, I'd say at least 12 years now, maybe, 10 to 12 years. And very excited to have him on the show because I've been following his growth of his company. He's been featured in the Wall Street Journal. He's been featured in Fast Company, an entrepreneur story here out of Kansas City. So I'd like to welcome onto the show Zach Lawless, who is the CEO and founder of Freshbowl. Zach, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to catch up again.
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know if I've actually seen you in real life for quite a long time, but I follow you on social media and obviously have been reading these articles about your company all over the place. And I know you guys have been very successful so far, but for our listeners who, before we get into the company and what you do and how you got there, talk about your background here locally in Kansas City and what you did here and kind of where you went after you left Kansas City.
Definitely. And also in background, I know it's been a little while, but I've been following along with you as well. So I was a Sock of the Month or Sock 101.
Yes, you were. I love that.
As well too. So I've been following along with your journey as well too. It's been really cool. But yeah, my background, like you said, from Kansas City, I grew up in Overland Park, went to school at Blue Valley North, go Mustangs. I'm a big Kansas City fan. Everywhere I go, I still rep the city. In fact, in New York, I think it's a little bit more novel to be from Kansas City when I'm pitching investors. So I try to convince as many of them to make a trip. I tell them it's the Paris of the Midwest, and we've got the best barbecue. So I'm always doing my part in promoting the city and singing its praises. I love Kansas City and any chance I can get back to it.
Yeah, I know you do. And it's a good time, you know, with the Chiefs being so good. I got a chance to go down to the Super Bowl. It was incredible. What an environment.
I'm so jealous.
And I can't even explain how great it was. And similar to 2015 with the Royals journey and 2014 as well, just, you know, there's a lot of civic pride. And I know that I'm assuming in New York that there's a lot of places to go to watch Chiefs games, as well as a lot of Kansas City folks that you're friends with up there. So I'm sure you had fun with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm my only bone to pick with Kansas City is we decided to start winning championships after I moved away. 16 years in Kansas City, and I never got a Chiefs or a Royals championship, but definitely follow it from afar. And you'd be kind of surprised that there's not as many Kansas City bars in New York as you would think. When I was living in San Diego, though, I lived next door to a Kansas Jayhawk and Chiefs bar.
Yeah, what was the name of that place?
It was the Boardwalk. It was so cool. I love that place.
Yeah, so right. So you left Kansas City for college. Right around when I met you, you were in high school, but then you left for Kansas. You left to go to college. You went out to San Diego. That was a good spot to go, right?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I thought through college, I was in between if I was going to go to KU or go out of state. And it was definitely a last-minute decision to make the move to San Diego. I think I made the decision like right before summer. So it was a really late decision. And I loved it.
San Diego State University, by the way, for all the listeners.
Yeah. Go Aztecs. We had a rough loss.
Yeah. You're in the prime seat here with the team for basketball. I mean, potentially a number one, but a number two seed, maybe a number three. I mean, you're right there. And then you got KU, your other favorite team, is a number one seed.
You know, if the Aztecs hadn't blown that game, mm-hmm. there's a chance that I would have had both Aztecs and KU as a number one seed, which that might be
that'll never happen again the rest of your life, probably, right? That's one of those genie in a bottle type thing. So you went out to San Diego. You got a bachelor's degree in medical engineering with a business finance minor. Tell us about that.
Mechanical engineering.
Engineering. Yeah. Sorry. I'm a little bit slow. I haven't been on the air for a few weeks. That is a medical engineering with business finance minor and a major.
Yeah.
There you go.
Medical engineering definitely sounds a little bit more scary than mechanical. But I went to school in San Diego State. Like you said, got an engineering degree. Didn't really know what I wanted to do going into college, but knew that everyone in my family was engineers and that it seemed like a hard degree. So I figured if I could get through with an engineering degree, it would be a good resume builder. Mm-hmm. And about halfway through college, or actually my junior year of college, I was president of our fraternity. So I got a lot of exposure to our alumni, all of which were mostly businessmen throughout San Diego, a lot of which were real estate owners. Mm-hmm. And so that through exposure to them, I kind of realized, I want to be in real estate. I want to kind of take the same path that a lot of them had. And so I added a minor in business at that time and also joined like every real estate board and organization that I possibly could. And even ended up competing in a competition called the NAOP competition at the end of the year, which was mostly reserved for the business majors. But it's a mock development competition through Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I really got like the most exposure towards what I wanted to be doing outside of school. Was a great competition between us, all the San Diego schools and Southern California schools to redevelop a part of Encanto, California.
So that was really more real estate finance. Because I know you mm-hmm. mentioned the passion about that and engineering. And so we're talking to Zach Lawless. He's an entrepreneur and CEO and founder of Fresh Bowl. We'll get to that here in the next segment. But you really kind of started your career in finance.
Correct. So that, like I said, that NAOP challenge was kind of like the final thing I did in college. So through that, I ended up meeting a bunch of different real estate owners and getting a job offer in New York City to come out and work on development for a company called H&H Builders, where we were doing a lot of the redevelopment in New York City. I'm sure you're familiar with New York City. Do you know like the meatpacking area?
Yep. Yeah, I ran the New York City Marathon last year, Zach. I don't know if I told you that. I ran throughout the whole world, and my claim to fame on this one was I beat the Bachelor guy by a minute. He's 26 years old, so as a 40-year-old, I appreciated that. But no, I stayed in Hudson Yards. Obviously that's an area that's completely redeveloped since I was last there. We got to go to break here though, Zach. Zach Lawless on the show, Fresh Bowl CEO and founder. We're going to have a lot of fun today on the Grill Nation show. Thanks for listening.
Am I wrong? Thinking of the box from where I stay. Am I wrong? Why you gotta be so?
Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for listening today on 980 AM here locally and also on iTunes and podcast or at grillnationshow.com, where I will post our show from today as well as more information about our guest. We're talking to Zach Lawless, who's the CEO and founder of Fresh Bowl. Fresh and health. It's a fresh and healthy vending machine in New York, environmentally friendly, taste bud friendly. It's a really cool concept we're going to get into. Very successful. They've been featured in Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, BuzzFeed, you name it. Their website is myfreshbowl.com. Zach is from Kansas City. Zach, we talked about your upbringing here in Kansas City. You went to Blue Valley North. You went to college at San Diego State, engineering and business. And then you ended up in New York working in real estate. And you were telling us the story about kind of the first area you kind of worked on in the meatpacking area, I believe you were telling us.
Yeah, the first project or the first company I really worked for, their primary focus was within New York City as a whole, but primarily within meatpacking. So it was pretty cool, and then there was a small fund here in New York City and construction company here in New York City that had some really iconic properties that they'd acquired. So. Like I said, I'm not sure how familiar you are with meatpacking, but there's an old street called Gansevoort Street, which was home to what was called the Gansevoort Market for a long time. And then a famous old building, or old restaurant called Pastis. And so right out of college, we were remodeling and redeveloping these two big projects. Or I was actually project managing for three projects in New York, all of which were over $200 million projects. So it was kind of this crazy baptism by fire right out of college, but it was a great way to get introduced to New York, get introduced to the real estate scene.
Very cool.
And get some real responsibility on my plate early on.
Yeah, so you did that, and I think I've eaten actually at one of those places that you said the name of it. I've actually been there before many times. So you started that, you did that, and then around 2018, you decided to start your own company. I mean, how did this come to fruition? What happened? How did this all work?
Yeah, so there's
especially in New York City, right? You know, I mean, it's not like you're doing it out in Silicon Valley or you're back home. You're in New York City. You're a real estate financial person, and now you're decided I'm going to start a VC backed company that provides crafted meals on the go, right? And leverages technology to cut out packaging waste. So how the heck did this happen?
Yeah, so there's a middle step in there. And that while the first job was really in project management, I knew I wanted to get more into finance and background finance, and was always kind of very interested in venture capital. So I jumped from there to a company called Cvest, where I was doing private equity and social impact venture capital investment. Mm-hmm. So it was a really cool exposure into really more of the finance side. But the interesting thing that really led me to the startup was that we were managing a portfolio of around 20 medical office buildings throughout the U.S. And one of the first things I realized was that we were giving free or subsidized rent to all the food tenants in these buildings just to really provide that amenity for the space.
Mm.
And so this all kind of really came to a head with this $200 million building we had in Buffalo, New York, where we were trying to get Sodexo, which is one of the largest food service operators in the country, to come in and be the food provider at the site. However, Sodexo was really only willing to pay about like 1/10 of the market rent, and none of it was going to be guaranteed as a percentage of sales. So we started looking for additional options where we were looking for like food trucks or any type of micro market that we could put in. And when we started putting in the micro markets, we realized that the grab and go food wasn't, that the tenants weren't happy with the grab and go food. And so I started looking for a better option on the market. And what I realized is there wasn't a better option in grab and go, and that there's some real market dynamics for why that existed. And that every time there are in any given region, there's really only 1 to 5 producers of fresh made or grab and go food that produce for anyone from 7-Eleven to Whole Foods. And because they're set up in contracts where Whole Foods or 7-Eleven will purchase a set amount each month, those manufacturers really have no incentive to understand the purchasing behaviors or the waste that's going to go into those type of products. Additionally, because they're not worried about who's buying it, they're more just worried about selling it to these larger distributors. They don't really look for market trends on what consumers are looking for. So you end up with this really generic white labeled product with extremely high levels of spoilage. In some cases, like 7-Eleven, as high as 30%. So mm-hmm. in order for them to get their margins back, they're reducing the quality of the ingredients they're going into it, and you get this giant cycle going over and over, which kind of leads to the crummy grab-and-go experience that all of us are currently familiar with.
Oh, right. Yeah. So this was kind of like every entrepreneur, you saw a need and there was no one doing it and you decided to do it. And, you know, here back in Kansas City, you know, I mean, I'm sitting in a studio right now and the company kitchen is from Kansas City, I believe, around this region. Very and cool. they have more of the snack type foods that grab-and-go. And it was a novel concept when you got rid of vending machines at the beginning when it was, you know, they're just sitting out food in these offices and you kind of have a little kiosk thing that you pay for. And I've seen, you know, we're used to the grocery store model where, you know, you go in and there's food on the shelves. I looked at your investor pitch and you have a picture of one. I mean, the same old rotisserie chicken, Chinese food, in that plastic container that we're all used to seeing. And it's really not what your consumer wanted. And so you decided, let's figure this out. So you looked into it, and did you ever think that it would be kind of a vending area machine, or did you think it would be more of a food delivery service, or what were you thinking?
So,
or all of those?
I was kind of open to anything at the beginning, and I think that the other parts really parlay into this is the summer of the plastic straw. So I don't know if you remember this, but about 2 summers ago was when everybody was like boycotting plastic straws, at least in New York City. And it was like the big news of the summer. And so while I was noticing that from a social aspect, and also noticing from investing in social impact venture capital on the other side of the business, that sustainability was really starting to make a movement. Mm-hmm. I had this kind of pipe dream that if we were able to find a product, because if you're getting into this world of shared economies and closed loop, the packaging and all these other things are going to live on into multiple life cycles. And so if you could find a way to really own the packaging as a way to build a direct relationship with the consumer, that you could start to kind of, whereas traditionally like a Whole Foods would own that relationship with the consumer, we as the brand, no matter where we were distributed, could hold that relationship with the consumer. So I kind of had this idea for how I wanted to build a company, but I didn't have a product. And then on the real estate side, I really found a product that would fit well into this kind of this larger sustainability idea. And so now that I'd kind of put the two of them together and had a vision, the idea was, how do I get enough distribution and enough points of return where I can create like a real meaningful infrastructure to grow this type of business? And so that's where I fell in love with the idea of vending machines, and that they're really inexpensive and prefabricated so that I can scale quickly, and that they can be cost efficient or profitable in enough small locations to really create that meaningful infrastructure.
And they're not what you normally think about. I mean, I'm looking at photos and there's some photos all over the internet, but myfreshbowl.com is the website, and you're all over, you know, you've been in Fast Company and the Wall Street Journal. And they look really good. I mean, they're big type things like you would see in maybe an airport as you're traveling through, selling headphones or whatnot or something, you know, like more of an advanced vending machine.
Yeah, I think that's the part that I probably left out there at the beginning is that the vending machines are forward and reverse vending, and that you can actually, you grab your jar out of it, but the vending machine will actually accept your jar back into it as well too. So you return it directly back to that location.
Yeah, we'll get into kind of all the deals with the food and with kind of how it works. But again, these are reusable glass jars, and we're talking about healthy food in these things.
Yeah, definitely. And the idea being that if you have a product or a container that can be reused over multiple times, that packaging cost is distributed over its life cycle, and you can beat the packaging cost of single-use plastics. So that's kind of the larger vision, is to create a financial model where it really makes sense to start using reusable packaging and things like that.
So you guys launched in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You got funding, seed funding?
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story, in that I was getting ready to go out to raise money. We just had our prototype, which I built in a garage in Kansas City, actually, with my dad. And we had one machine. We were getting ready to launch. We're launching it at WeWorks at 85 Broad. And a friend of mine said that I should meet with an investor, Ben Ling of Ling Capital. And I ended up sending him a text at like midnight or around 11 o'clock on Friday evening. And we ended up staying up that evening, texting back and forth till like 3 a.m. about the company, about the market opportunity. And then the next day he sends me a message. I'm coming out to New York on Wednesday to see the machine. And he's from Silicon Valley. So I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I don't even really have a deck put together. I'm not really ready to fundraise at this point. It was pretty crazy. And he comes out, I meet him. I remember meeting him in like the hotel lobby at a Marriott. And he's like, this is great. I like the product. It's like one of those scenes out of Silicon Valley where he's just like super direct, knew exactly what he wanted to do. Swung by, took a look at the machine, and then sent me an email about an hour later with a term sheet. So it was probably one of the quickest fundraising stories. Yeah, probably one of the quickest fundraising stories of all time.
We'll get more into that after the break. We're talking to Zach Lawless, who is the co-founder, and CEO of Fresh Bowl. Their website is myfreshbowl.com. It's an amazing concept in New York City, and hopefully sooner or later all across the country. But Zach is from Kansas City, lived here, went to high school here, and is now in New York City. So many cool things to talk about with this company. We'll be right back on the Grill Nation show here on 980 AM to discuss more, as well as on iTunes via podcast. Thanks for listening today to Grill Nation. Welcome back to the Grill Nation show. I'm your host, Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today on 980 AM or on iTunes via podcast. Again, our guest today is Zach Lawless, CEO and co-founder of MyFreshBowl.com. He is calling us in from New York City, where they have started. You will see Fresh Bowl machines all throughout the city and continuing to grow. He was talking to us in the last segment about his seed funding, his venture capital funding, and kind of an interesting story about how quick that went. Zach, I want to start us off today. So how many locations do you have now, and how many do you hope to have? I know in your prospectus, you want to have close to 100 at some point. Is that correct? And pretty quickly?
Yeah, pretty quickly. I mean, right now we have 10 machines live.
In New York City, in Manhattan?
In Manhattan. We're hoping to have 20 by end of Q2, and then 50 by the end of the year, and 100 within 18 months.
Okay. And so I'm walking in New York City and I see your Fresh Bowl. I mean, again, these, you go online, myfreshbowl.com, you can see photos of what it looks like. I mean, I'm looking at one right now, and it looks like a salad of some sort. So I'm in New York, I'm working there, I'm walking around, I'm starving. I don't want to go to a fast food restaurant. I don't want to go to the grocery store and pick up one of those nasty meals. I say, oh, I want a Fresh Bowl. What happens? How does this work?
Yeah, so typically we target office lobbies and transit centers. So you'll probably either be commuting through somewhere or coming down from your office looking for something to eat. Typically how it works is you'll go up to it. We have a big screen there where you can order and look through the items and figure out what it is you want to purchase. And mm-hmm. then as a traditional vending machine, you'll just click that item, pay for it, and we'll dispense the item to you. The different consumer behavior really happens after the fact, where you will be, once you're finished, you can actually bring the jar back. You'll scan the jar when you come back up to the machine. It will, a door will open. You put the jar into the machine. When you close the door, you'll enter your phone number, and we'll send you a text that notifies you that you've just received $2 towards your next purchase. And then for all of your future purchases, when you're checking out, there's a place where you can put in your phone number. You put in your phone number, it registers your account, and you get that discount towards your next purchase.
So what's the average cost per consumer? It's $7.50, is that right?
Yeah, the average receipt is $7.50, but the meals really range anywhere from $11 down to $5.
Oh, wow. So it is affordable, too, because that's an issue. You know, you go to some of these fresher, healthier, sustainable places sometimes, and you leave. I'm going to name a name here, Whole Foods Salad Bar, and I'm ending up getting like a half of not even that much food, and I go to the register, and it's like $30, and I'm considering, like, how the heck did I just do that? But yours is a little bit more affordable through the vending machine, it sounds like. So anyways, that's awesome. And, you know, we have Chateau Milk here in Kansas City, which I know you're aware of, where that was a novel concept back in the day when they would drop off glass milk carton or milk glass milk at your house, and then you'd finish it. And at the grocery store, obviously, you can return it and whatnot as well. And they've done very well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, and it's funny because people talk about these types of systems as being novel, but really the infrastructure and this type of consumer behavior has been around for ever until single-use plastics came around. So you talk about the milkman of, like, what, the 50s and 60s.
Right.
That was around for a while. And now that's all kind of died. But in order to get those systems back in place and those kind of consumer behaviors, technology coming to the forefront is going to play a big part of that. And Fresh Bowl's real mission as a company is to really be that consumer brand around kind of bringing back that behavior. The fact that you can actually return the jars, if you look at a lot of different sustainability programs, like Starbucks has one where you can bring back your cup and you get like 25% off or 25 cents off. There's a place out here called Just Salad where you can have your bowl. But the problem with all of these, on average, they get around 25% return. But the problem is that they're leaving the onus onto the consumer. Really, the consumer has to remember to bring their cup. They have to sanitize their cup. It's a long process. It takes an extra effort on their part. The difference for what we're doing is we're saying, hey, drop off your bowl whenever. We'll use technology essentially to store your credits, communicate everything to you, and let you know that you have that there. We'll do the dishes and sanitize everything. So next time you're ready to purchase, you just step up to the machine and purchase. And I think just that little switch in how we do things and how we communicate to the consumer has made a huge impact, because we're seeing return rates for our locations at 85%. Mm-hmm. And even in our public transit locations like the subway, we're at 75% return rate.
Unbelievable. And a lot of customer engagement and loyalty. I'm seeing a 65% average jar gets 6.67 times a use. You have almost a 5-star customer rating, a 4.8. You purchases per repeat customer about 4.1 in your pilots. So you guys are really doing well. And, you know, this is a concept, hopefully at some point, Zach, that you get so big that you are bringing this back to your hometown, right? you'd have an office. There's a lot of offices around here too. Maybe we don't have the subway or the transit, but I would say I can think of a lot of big companies around here that would love to talk to you, one, because they're innovative and doing cool things. But I think starting in New York, obviously, with foot traffic, with just the hustle and go, the fact that people maybe are a little more environmentally friendly at certain points and want to help out and do this, seems like a good spot to start your company.
Yeah, hopefully sooner than later. I think that Kansas City and different markets are going to have different metrics that drive them, but I think Kansas City would really work. And that New York, you have this issue of, we need to be hyper convenient. We need to be in the lobby for it to really work, because there's so many food options so close. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you get into different markets where people are really commuting to grab lunch or doing things of that nature, it opens up the opportunity to go into maybe even smaller office buildings, but you're going to have a higher purchase rate for employee. So I think that as we expand outside of New York, I would love to go to Kansas as soon as possible.
So tell me about how this food gets made. I mean, how do you guys do this? You know, you have the plastics, they're returned. You got to put fresh food in there every day, I would assume, or every, I don't know how that works, every other day, but how does that even happen? How do you manage that, and how did you work in that wrinkle? We haven't even talked about that yet.
Yeah, so the food's produced every day, stocked in the machine every day. And then whatever we don't use, we then either compost or donate to local food kitchens, depending on the quantity behind it. But the food has definitely been kind of one of the most interesting wrinkles of this entire part. I think that I definitely underestimated it when I was in finance, because you just look at numbers on a spreadsheet when you're looking at operations, and I don't think you put the full weight behind how difficult of an operations food is. And so, in fact, when I first started, I came up with a menu, and I was like, if I can just get one big client, then that would be a good start. And so I had my eyes set on WeWork at the time, reached out to them, paid somebody online to put together like a fake menu that I could put in a deck and send it to them. And their response to me was like, hey, this is great. How about you come cater our creator awards? And so I committed to it on the spot without even knowing what I was getting myself into. And I had 30 days to cater for a 5,000 person event in the middle of New York City, which was just like a crazy exposure to this whole thing. So I called up my parents out of Kansas. I called up a few friends and I was like, hey guys, I'm going to rent out a kitchen in New York. I need your help. I got my food handling license. And within that week, I think everything that could go wrong went wrong. Like all of our food got delivered late. We were going down to a local grocery store to buy things. At one point, we exploded like a blender all over everything in the kitchen.
a true entrepreneurial story.
Yeah, it was a nightmare, but we ended up pulling it off. We were the first of three vendors to sell out at the event, and WeWork ended up giving us our first location. But I realized after that event, I needed to go find a food partner. So teamed up with a local entrepreneur and a local food entrepreneur and catering entrepreneur here in New York City named Chloe Vachote, who had a restaurant in New York called Ann Klee that was doing sustainable, which was a sustainable cafe and catering service. And so she jumped on as the first co-founder on the team and has been a real instrumental part in getting this off the ground and taking the food operations, which I should never have been a part of.
How'd you meet her?
I just went online and started Googling people that were doing high-end grab-and-go food. And when I found her and saw her story, it resonated a lot with what I was trying to do. So I actually walked into her store and was like, hey, let me pitch you on this crazy vending machine idea. I think she thought I was nuts at first, but she gave me a second meeting and I was able to convince her to jump on board.
That's awesome. Zach Lawless is our guest. He's from Kansas City. He grew up in the Leawood area in Kansas, high school. As well there, he is the co-founder of Fresh Bowl, myfreshbowl.com. Zach, we've got about a minute left in this segment. How much funding have you guys raised so far for the company?
We've raised a little over $2.7 million so far.
And you can read more about that in Fast Company or in Wall Street Journal. They've covered you. Amazing to raise that much money so quickly in only a two-year period. Not even a two-year period.
Yeah, it's been a real interesting experience to kind of get exposure to the venture capital world and really how it works. So I think that we raised our first round, which is a little over $600,000 from Ben, who I mentioned. And
where's Ben from again? He's from Silicon Valley. Is he of a company or what?
Yeah, he's a former Coastal Ventures GP, and he started his own fund right when I met him called Bling Capital.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and then we brought on some other investors and advisors that all joined the team. So we brought on Nick Toronto, the CEO of Plated, Evan Moore, the CEO of DoorDash, and then Daniel Almong, the CEO of Topingo.
Wow.
And so we got a great board of investors and advisors behind us immediately, which really helped kind of fuel our growth. We brought in some big contracts from some large food service organizations like Aramark, and then launched our first like real pilots with machines that weren't built in my parents' garage in July of last year.
Very cool. Zach Lawless is our guest. We're going to come back for one more segment here on the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill.
Your picture perfect blue, sunbathing on the moon, stars shining as you're born.
Welcome back to Grill Nation Show. Jason Grill here. I'm joined by Zach Lawless, who is the co-founder and CEO of Fresh Bowl. Their website is myfreshbowl.com. Kansas City guy and now in New York City. His two sisters are there. They're great people as well. And his parents are in Kansas City still. So great family here and known them for many years. So it's exciting to have Zach on the show. Zach, we talked a lot about your business and kind of how it all started. I want to talk about kind of what the future looks like. Take us through that, because you mentioned you're going to continue to grow the machines, vending machines all throughout New York City. What else are you planning to do? I know it's more than just a fresh, sustainable food option and bowl in New York. What else are you considering?
Yeah, well, I think that it's important to understand, like, for where we are now in the goal of the company, we say is to make sustainability both humanistic and simplistic. And that a lot of times people look at sustainability as this massive goal that's too big for their individual contributions. And so by rewarding individual consumer behaviors and making it as easy as possible on them, our goal is to create a consumer brand that launches outside of just even food to make this happen. And so the vending machines are a really key model to that, like I said earlier, and that they provide the infrastructure. So as we gain distribution, we'll be able to make it easier and more convenient for people to have it, to have these types of products. But that includes, if you look at sustainability, it's kind of focused around two different factors, which is closed loop systems and shared economies. And so what's really exciting is in April of this year, April or May of this year, we're going to launch what we call our shared economy products. And so, for instance, that is water bottles that you can grab out of the machine that come in reusable water containers. If you return those water bottles to the machine within the next 5 days, we don't charge you. So it's a way to kind of build shared economies. That includes things like tote bags. So we're working on a deal with a large retailer right now where one of their issues is that people will come into the store and they'll buy reusable tote bags to take their groceries home because they forgot their own and they feel bad buying plastic or paper. So for that retailer, what we're doing is we're actually adding the tote bags into our machine. If their customer is part of our program, they can grab it out of there. If they return within the first 5 days, then we don't charge them for that product. And so that includes everything from like umbrellas, the water bottles I mentioned, phone chargers, and it kind of the idea is to expand into the area of shared economies as well, utilizing the networks of the vending machines that we're placing.
You can do anything with those things, man. They're revolutionary. Yeah. And you look at the kiosks and the vending machines online, you can Google the company. They've been in the Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, BuzzFeed. There's videos. You're just everywhere. You've raised up to $2.7 million already. You're providing a fresh solution and combining technology, distribution, and infrastructure all in New York City right now. Hopefully we will at some point see you scale into other cities. But I can't wait to check it out next time I'm in New York City and try this out. You know, the delivery process, how did you get all that straight? I mean, geez, you gotta fill these things every day. That's going to be interesting to see how you pull that off, right?
Yeah.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, it is. We do everything overnight for that reason. Obviously, parking and everything in New York City is extremely difficult, but the company really lies in the operations of it. So logistics and culinary is as far as producing the food and getting the food to the machines. So it's all been a learning process. We've got an operation model for how we want to expand. And obviously, the more locations we get, the more efficient that those deliveries will be.
What's the so you have a group of advisors, you have your co-founder, you have investors. What's the employee base look like right now? I mean, are you going to continue to scale that up? I imagine you have to with 100 potential units in the next 18 months.
Yeah, the employee base will continue to scale. As far as kind of like the back office team, there's mm-hmm. six of us. There's six of us currently, and then we have three members in the kitchen that are working full time, and then two delivery drivers. So those will all continue to scale as we move forward. But we imagine the back office, so that kind of core six, staying pretty steady through the rest of the next 18 months.
And you've got a lot of distribution partners. You said you mentioned Aramark and others. I'm assuming that they're going to help you get into more doors at more places, hotel at some point, you know, you could see some, you mentioned you're on the transit already in New York, but, you know, you're in a hotel lobby by an airport, or you're at a sporting event or whatever. There's all kinds of different potential places where people are trying to be innovative. I just see the sky the limit. As long as, you know, the initial machines go well, and it sounds like they are, there's so many ways you can continue to grow this thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And so
that umbrella thing just sounded amazing from a start in New York City. What a great idea when you're walking everywhere there. Just even that, you know, I mean, there's so many different ways to take this.
Yeah, exactly. Especially as I think that network where we're creating something where you can purchase and return directly to that's automated is super important. We're targeting locations where large public locations where there's a lot of foot traffic to increase that convenience for the vending machines. And so that is exactly what you're talking about. That's like museums, transit centers, hotels, office lobbies, like we were mentioning earlier. And
we got to get you in WeWork here at some point. I know the head person at the WeWork here, and I know the head of security at the WeWork in New York, so I'm sure he's probably tried your food before. He's from Kansas City of all places.
Oh, really?
Former Secret Service guy, so he's up in New York now. But you're doing all these great things, Zach. I mean, congrats to you. Again, myfreshbowl.com. Check it out. If you're in New York City, check it out. Zach, again, is from Kansas City. He grew up here. His sisters are both from here. They both live in New York now as well. Zach, what do you miss most about Kansas City? I know you're going to tell me you miss barbecue, but that's probably one of the most things you miss, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely barbecue. It's the first thing I get when I get off the plane.
What's your go-to?
Kansas City Joe's, even though I still refer to it as Oklahoma Joe's all the time.
Z-Man, correct?
Oh, yeah, I go for the Z-Man every time. Get the beef brisket and the pulled pork. You got to get both meats on it. It's so good.
So what's
But Q39's been...
Yeah, that's a great spot too. What's the New York City entrepreneurial scene like? I mean, obviously you've managed to be successful very early on with Fresh Bowl. What's that climate and that ecosystem like?
It's incredible. I mean, I think it's second only to San Francisco in the U.S. And it's you can tell it's growing a lot. There's a lot of really great investors located out of here. The new lead investor for our round, BetaWorks, is located out of here. And we work in their office currently. And I would say it's a really tight knit group. Even in San Francisco, it's a very tight knit group, but New York as well too. Everybody's kind of knows one another. They're passing deals around. And even from the entrepreneur side, they do a good job of making the entrepreneurial community all coming together. In fact, we have like a group that goes to grab dinner every few months that is all like food based hardware companies. And so, it's, I think one of the really important things for being an entrepreneur, and especially for like venture businesses or venture backed businesses, is that, it's really important to be around a community who's doing something similar and having that kind of network that you can ask questions for and get guidance.
Mm-hmm. Zach, I'd love to introduce you to a couple of pretty big people here in the local area that are, doing a lot with startups and venture capital and, very successful exits. Would love to have you come back here next time you're in town and to connect with them or speak to an entrepreneurial ecosystem group at Kauffman or one of those groups here in Kansas City. But congrats on all your success. Please keep in touch. We'll be sharing the love from Kansas City for what you're doing in New York, in the big city, and look forward to talking to you again sometime down the road, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to catch up.
Zach Lawless, our guest on the Grill Nation show this week. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. Take care, everybody.
Ooh, girl, you're shining like a Fifth Avenue diamond, and they don't make you like they used to. You're never going out of style. Ooh, pretty baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.